For the Interrobang, I'm Grace Espinosa, and welcome to this episode on the Red Couch Podcast to Bees Clarkson, third-year fashion design student, and Lauren Bailey, another third-year fashion design student. And today, of course, we are going to talk about fashion through the lens of these fashion college students. So welcome to this episode.
Thank you so much.
Obviously, my first question is why you decided to take this program, this course?
Well, it's kind of one of those things where I just knew I was going to. I'm someone who was lucky enough to be really encouraged in my childhood to dress up, be myself, you know, even sew. Both of my grandmothers sew. And I also grew up in Stratford, which is a very artistic town. We have the festival, we have the theater. I was a total drama kid. I was just really lucky to grow up around art and around clothes. And then as I went through high school and started thinking about where I wanted to go, I wanted to obviously stay in Ontario and find somewhere that would let me explore art and fashion and really hone in on those technical skills that I developed as a hobby and then came here with all my bad habits with sewing. And get those corrected and really just kind of put me on a path of turning passion into like career, into something that could really be feasible in my life for me.
And for you, visit was the same or?
Slightly different.
Yeah?
So I'm a mature student. I actually have already gone and done my bachelor's degree. I did half a master's degree in something completely different. Didn't realize I was really as creative as I thought I was.
But it was not related to art.
No. So I actually went to school for, I did a year of equine management because I'm a horse girl. And then I did my 4-year Bachelor of Arts degree in cultural studies, which was like a mix of like anthropology and like psych and like history and stuff. I'm a really big history nerd, so I have that as a minor. And then I did half a master's degree in social sciences, media management. And then in 2018, decided that I finally wanted to learn how to sew. My mother has also went to fashion design school at Humber in the 70s. And so she finally got me to sew, and then I discovered I loved it. I got it through historical fashion, and then eventually went to cosplay, that's our connection, is cosplay stuff. And then did that, and just kind of came here because didn't have a job in my own field, whatever that might be, and was like, I'm going to try and do this, and then kind of found it and like loved it. And yeah.
In the last episode, we had two guests from the fan show anime and manga club.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
But I would like that you explain us what cosplay is, because perhaps people didn't watch the last episode, or they, you know, they are not
big nerds. Really big nerds, as I'm wearing an Obi-Wan Kenobi shirt. So cosplay is just like bare bones, like just dressing up like a character you love. I cosplay characters from a D&D thing called Critical Role, if there's any critters around. Wow. And Lauren actually does way more cosplay.
I try to hide sometimes, but no, like my sewing roots I started with the extravagant for sure. I remember trying to sew my first bone bodice at like 14 or so, and that is kind of, you see that in evening wear, you see that in dresses, like boning is like that sticky out bit that really gives structure to dresses.
Not easy.
Of course.
You have to do it by yourself.
Exactly, and that's kind of the fun of cosplay too, is the things that you want to dress up on, like in, and celebrate the character or celebrate an aesthetic, you can't find those in real life. So as like creatives, as cosplayers, you really like learn how to make weird things before you would learn to make the normal things. So I remember sewing and boning at 14, and that was only something that we just were taught in third year. So almost like 10 years later, I'm almost full circle. I spent a lot of like my teenagehood going to like Comic-Cons and Fan Expo and Anime North. I've like kind of progressed through that, and my sewing did as well. And it's fun now, we're kind of at the end of our school careers, I can put more energy back into that. Yeah. So I can kind of come back into it and be like, now you can turn my garments inside out. But before they just looked good and I would like use my wig to like cover something, but now they're gonna be actually good.
So, yeah. Japanese culture, science fiction series, it could be your first, your first inspiration, or you have another kind of inspiration to design your clothes?
For me, it's different. Yeah. So for me, the big thing, like I said before, is historical fashion stuff. So for instance, like my collection this year for Unbound is inspired by a lot of historical fashion and things like that. I was never into like J fashion. I mean, I am into like J fashion a little bit.
Japanese fashion.
So Japanese fashion. So like the Harajuku style or like Decora and stuff like that. I could go
and
on.
And Decora?
yeah, sorry.
It's another question because I want to explain everything that people can understand. Decora is a Japanese style or more Korean?
It's more, no, it's or more Asian. like a Japanese fashion
okay.
thing. Yeah, there's like all these different like facets of it. And like you get into other stuff.
I want to know if Decora is the style that people use a lot of colorful clothes,
a lot of
compliments. Okay.
Yeah, and then for me, like not necessarily from like the Japanese type stuff that a lot of people would think. Mine is just like pop culture in general. Mm-hmm. I also play roller derby, which is also where I get a lot of inspiration from. And my roller derby name is Bucky Harms, which has to do with Captain America. So like stuff like that has been really influential in like that sort of like where I get my influences from. And I'm like a punk rock kid, like metalhead at heart too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that is where I get my inspiration from, less so than
so
like
you combine different styles.
Yeah.
I mean, like something very perhaps dark, but at the same time something sweet and colorful.
Yeah. Mm. I really like mixing that together too. So that's like where I get my inspo from.
You have just mentioned Unbound. We are going to talk about Unbound, but I would like that you describe, for example, right now your style.
What I'm wearing?
Yeah, right now. Because it's the example of everything that you have just said. That something sweet, something rock. So, and I would like to know if you create it or
I have a skirt that I made on out of a bed sheet this was before I went to school here, so if it looks really bad starting school
and then
I did not make the shirt I'm wearing, but the vest I'm wearing I made. Can I stand up and show you the back?
We can do it.
I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
So I made a patch.
Oh, wow, Dragon Slayer.
Which is a Pokemon reference. So I made this and I painted the back patch and dyed it and put all the stuff on. The patches are, obviously I haven't made the rest of the patches and pins and stuff, but it's all like Astarion, like Baldur's Gate 3 and stuff like that. So if you know, you know. stuff like that. And I love like mixing all of that. And you can see it in my Unbound collection a little bit. And like combat boots are always paired well with skirts and stuff. Yeah. And then versus like Lauren is very different for what they wear.
Yeah, I would like that you describe. I don't know if you created like this or?
What I do now is like I work at a vintage store in Stratford called La Osa, fantastic place. I'm a little more grungy, a little more street. Mm-hmm. And of course, like I still have my appreciation for all of the sweet things, all of the pastel, all of the kind of cybercore, like kind of stuff like that. But my everyday style is very like genderless and seasonless. I'm non-binary, so I really like to my queerness really shows through a lot of my clothes, I like to think, and my nerdiness. I made a I Love Minecraft bracelet. So I do a lot of thrifting. I do a lot of finding. I do a lot of like, hey, brother, are you wearing this anymore? I'm gonna take it to college. Thanks so much.
So your favorite place is thrift store.
Sure. And then going to my Unbound collection, my kind of thesis of it is that elevated streetwear, is that elevated kind of baggy, genderless, seasonless. The idea that comfy and casual can transcend into something more elevated. Like, we're living in this post-pandemic world where we were allowed to wear our pajamas for 3 years, and you did the Zoom special where you had the button up and your sweatpants.
A lot of designers I saw in fashion weeks, people who wore like pajamas and everything. Yeah. And but it's something, you know, the fashion is related to. Like, to everything, to the pandemic.
Yes,
so.
It really reflects like the human psyche. Mm-hmm. Like, you can really tell a lot by what someone wears.
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy walking around Fanshawe. Like, we have such a like big campus and a diverse campus that it's fun to kind of peek at what everyone is wearing. But yeah, like my collection uses a lot of textiles in ways that like look really comfy, but are almost like. Yeah. More kind of formal wear, like
it's elevated.
Yeah, I have a dress made out of sweatpants and like, mm-hmm. and then like basketball shorts made out of satin. So a lot of like things that mix, and you don't really think that they do, but they work, and that's kind of me.
And your collection, your designs are going to be in the Unbound this event.
Yes.
So I know what Unbound is, but I suppose not all the students know. And it's going to be the first time that the Unbound is going to be in a different space. It's going to be in Farwell Hall for the first time. Yeah.
Yes.
The new space that FSU has in at the Innovation Village. So let me know more about Unbound and how people, students can get the tickets, because when I was in the website, still were not available. So officially, when the Unbound is?
So it's on April 6th. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, yeah, in Innovation Village, Farwell Hall, in our beautiful new space. We're going to transform it into a runway, as well as areas for like cocktails and mocktails and little snacks, as well as a lot of photos and interactive elements for sure. And tickets will be up very soon. I think by next week. Absolutely. Yeah. So by next week we will have those available, and yeah, everyone is welcome to come, and it's going to be really fun, really awesome. We're putting a lot of hard work into it.
The Unbound is only for students of the third year. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So.
I don't know if mandatory is part of your final project.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So
that's important.
Which is really important. Yeah. So it's all the third year designers. So that we're a small group this year because we're the last like bit that's done through COVID.
Oh.
So like, there's only 13 of us versus the second years. There's like 40 of them
now.
Yeah. So we're the last little COVID babies. Kind of thing. So there's only 13 of us, which is great though, because we're all really different. Like Lauren was talking about how they're amazing, like streetwear stuff. And then mine is like actually inspired by like folk horror and things like that. Like folk horror movies, meaning like stuff like Midsommar and like Blair Witch Project and stuff. So it's like spooky, but not black. So that's why it's really fun to come out and see that, because it will be a bit different. And then, yeah, so we also have some really cool technology stuff that's going to happen at Unbound this year. So the runway's in Farwell Hall. But then just next door in, I think it's the
Market Square,
we're going to have a bunch of stuff. So our design or our program is really into 3D design right now. So all 13 of us have put one of our real life designs into this 3D software called Clo 3D. And then so once the show's done, everybody's going to be able to come and like scan a QR code, and then you'll see our 3D digital twin, it's called, in real life, like through your phone. And so you can like walk around it and like do stuff like that. So that's really cool. And we're gonna have like a bunch of other stuff. There's this thing called AR VR hotspots. So it's again in like, it's put through Unreal Engine, which is like for video games. So it'll put it in Unreal Engine, and then you can click on stuff and it gives you more information. It gives you like color options. I was just showing Lauren mine the other day. So lots of other fun stuff.
That's why the name of this event is Unbound New Narratives.
New Narratives, yes.
So, and you are going to create your fashion designs related to the new narratives or no?
Yes and no.
I'll speak on
that. We have time.
Yeah,
so first Lauren and after Lauren.
So, so our traditionally the first and second years of our program are kind of chunked up by semester, but in third year you kind of have the whole year to think about your collection, and you work on it right from September to April and you go for it.
So you have one year?
Yeah, you basically have like less than one year. A little of the other
part of your fine art project. So
yeah. We somehow, through our 8 courses within a semester, we make it work. But yeah, so new narratives is something that we came up with a class at the beginning. It was one of the first things that we kind of settled on. And it's talking about how each 13 of us has such an individual life, an individual perspective, we all come from all different walks of life. And that is being reflected by these new narratives that we're presenting through our collection, through lenses of sustainability, through social aspects, through just commentaries on things that like are historical but are now pushed into the modern. So that is just being like almost like a new reality that each one of us are creating. So when you attend the show, you're going to see these 13 different perspectives when it comes to fashion, when it comes to art.
Yeah. I'm curious, this is the first runway after pandemic in person?
Yes, yes.
I don't know if you had at the school. I don't know if last year was online or what professors decided.
So the first show that came back last year was called One Love, and that was off campus. And it was, it was the first one. It was at Kellogg. Yes, yeah. It was at the Kellogg factory there. And so that was just the step back into having gatherings, having Unbound be a physical show, because it always had been up until 2020. But the years that we weren't able to do it in person, fashion films have come out from that. Our program has many awards because of our fashion films, which is really exciting. Yeah. But this is, of course, an honor because it's the first time we're in this new space. Like, we're excited to show off this amazing new addition to Fanshawe, something that is so, I think, integral to us in our last year and the years that are, you know, coming before us. Yeah.
And after now, us. Yeah. I'm curious, but when you have your designs and your professor say, okay, I approve this design, how you contact with the models? So the models are the same students or how you create?
In a way.
Because, for example, I don't know if you create your designs for different kind of size or shape of bodies. So I don't know how is the relation with the models.
It's interesting being, I'm a model myself. It's interesting seeing the other side of things where we are sitting in a group and talking about bodies and talking about people, whether they're strangers or our friends. And so this year we did want to put an emphasis on all bodies, on extended sizing, on kind of, it's on us as designers in that cutting room to make sure that our designs are accessible, our designs can fit all people. So when it came to our model casting, we did an open call. We pushed it as far as we could, all of London, all of Fanshawe. And so our model cast consists of 14 models.
14, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And from age range and size range, and people who have been modeling for years, people who this is their first runway show, and some are Fanshawe students. So it's very exciting for them to step out in front of their peers.
Yeah. Girl, guys.
No. I think, you know, today, and it's a really good push for today and the future to talk about fashion in a scope that is accessible and open to all people.
And not to add the label, this is for girls, this is for...
I think it's, some people are definitely designing to more of like femininity, that some people's highlights is the feminine. Like mine is very masculine.
The designer, for example, in your case, not binary.
Yeah, so like for me... And a lot of, actually, I feel like our, like half of our class, at least, is very much like, this is like genderless in the sense that it's not for any like binary in that sense, but it might have more of like a feminine feel kind of thing versus like, I know like one of my models is like, is AMAB as far as I know. I've got him in like what could be like a corset. Kind
and
of
you
thing
choose that person because
I originally was actually gonna have my partner do it.
No, but you, it's good because you thought that person is the perfect one for your design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the designs did come more or less before we were solidified on the models, though, but there were certain people that like, yeah, I knew I wanted to have this one like outfit on a more masculine body. Originally, it was gonna be my partner, and they're very close to the like in. Body shape wise to the model that is actually wearing it. And then I have maybe a more masculine thing on a more feminine presenting person, right? So the designs did come before the models were chosen. And then like Lauren and I have the same models, but their stuff works for either one of us, even though they're very different collections. kind of thing. And then same with like other people in our, like they're all kind of, they're meant to just be clothes hangers, but also at the same time they're not, because they really need to still embody stuff, right? But we still managed to pick people that suited the vibe. Like that's, I know when Lauren and I were picking, we're like, we don't care what size they are. They need to be on the vibe.
Yeah.
So with all of the styles that you define and you can find in Unbound, I will let you know, how do you see the fashion industry evolving the coming years, and what role do you hope to play?
Yeah, so even touching back on like the choosing of models to now be in these spaces where these decisions are being made, yeah, to push genderless things, to push like just accessibility, to push that humans come in all shapes and sizes and feelings and vibes, and to be the voice to represent those people. And so I think mainstream fashion is taking steps in that direction, but as people who are truly and genuinely like feeling that way as well within sustainability too, we're looking at these big brands, and yes, they may have, you know, someone who is trans on the runway, but it's the one person out of, you know, 40, and they're saying that they're eco-friendly, but it they're kind of just, they're greenwashing, and greenwashing is a term where they go, oh, like, when you find, like, a wooden hairbrush in Shoppers, but it's wrapped in plastic, and they're like, well, it's wood, like, you know, it's, yeah, it's fine. That's a good example of greenwashing. So, yeah, so to now be young designers in those spaces to call people out, I think, is a good thing to start with. Yeah. And I think, what was your exact question?
No, it's okay, because I wanted to know, I mean, related to the fashion industry, how the role it is going to be for the future, because I would like to know if you see right now more sustainability, fashion, more inclusion. So I would like to know your perspective, because you are the professional.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not professional, but I can see that now I can see different kind of models. I can see that people now is worry and concerned with sustainability, so I can see more people who go to the thrift stores. Yeah. So that's why I want to know how do you see this industry for the future, or perhaps there is something right now is not very popular, but you think, oh, I think for example the three designs created with technology are going to be a revolution in 10 years. So
yeah, I think like in terms of sustainability and openness, we are taking steps in those right directions. But as consumers and as artists ourselves, and as graduates and as students, it's good to just stay true to yourself and really like call things out and make sure things happen are truthful. They're not just like, they're just doing it for show, doing it because they have to. And then it's interesting you talk about technology as well. And I think something that Biz had talked about, our CLO 3D program, is a huge step in getting designers to be more confident in the real world fashion industry. And it makes fashion much more accessible. The fact that everybody, for the most part, most people can have access to a computer, a laptop, or even a phone. And CLO is right now, all I know is just on PC and laptop, but that's something that you can have. And now you don't need a sewing machine and materials, and you don't need a big table to lay out your paper pattern on, and your ruler and your
because
pencil.
Because when you are in your program, you are doing in the traditional way, or?
Yeah.
We mix it and stuff like that. So our program works hands-on, because obviously if your computer doesn't work, you gotta know how to make a pattern. But also with technology, and you'll see that at Unbound a lot too, is a lot of us have used 3D printing and laser cutting. Like I have some laser cut pieces, but then also for me as a designer and moving forward and stuff, mixing that with like other like more traditional things. Like I actually handmade all of my buttons. I cut some twigs up. Yeah. So that's really cool to see, mixing that with the modern technology and stuff. And for me too, sustainability wise, I think for a lot of people, it has to become kind of like you don't have to think about it as much. So like our sustainability goals for Unbound are responsible production and consumption, as well as mental health and well-being. kind of thing. And for me, responsible production is that I'm using linen and deadstock leather. So deadstock meaning that it just wasn't usable by the company that I got it from anymore, and I'm turning it into something. And I'm also using all of my scraps to make embellishments and things. So for me, it seems like a lot, and like from the outside, but for me, it's kind of second nature in that sense that it's just, I will find the people that want to think like that. I have a dress that doesn't waste anything at all. And it's just kind of second nature. I wasn't like, oh crap, like I gotta think of how to do this. It was like, oh, I wanna do this because this is my design, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, like our program at Fanshawe, like I feel very lucky that we are taught and pushed to be sustainable designers, because it's almost would be irresponsible for us to go out into the world and create waste, because mm-hmm. textile and fashion waste is one of the biggest polluters on the planet right now, number two. And so yeah, we want to stop that cycle, be one of the pieces that helps fix the puzzle that we need to save the earth, essentially. It sounds very like forthright and justice, but yeah, we're trying to save the world one pair of pants at the time, yeah. at a time. Yeah. So
sounds
yeah.
good. That's it. I don't know if you want to add something or important that we missed. I want to remind that Unbound is on April
6th.
April 6th, and around when it's going to start?
Yeah, 7 p.m. The door is open, and then the show will start soon after that. Yeah, we encourage everybody to come out, dress up, wear
yeah,
your best, make it an
way,
event.
But
yeah, we will have a champagne carpet and photography. You can come take your picture. We are being our MC for the event is Miles Sexton, and they are a fantastic Canadian fashion influencer. That you can see them on City Line and on Instagram. Yeah, so they're going to host the night for us, and yeah, we really encourage everyone to come out and enjoy our 13 new narratives.
And follow Unbound Fashion.
Yes, and follow us on Instagram at Unbound Fashion.
Follow the Instagram, you can find all the information in the website too. So you Unbound has Instagram.
Yeah, we're in the marketing group for Unbound, so that's why I said that. Yeah, so we have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have TikTok. We don't use the Twitter, as far as I know. The Instagram is the one that you'll get the most stuff on, and you'll also see a lot of like cool process pictures and stuff too.
Oh.
Yeah. So at Unbound Fashion.
Yeah.
Is everything.
Cool. <Yeah. laughs> Thank you so much, Biz, Lauren. It was a pleasure. Awesome.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to another episode of the Red Couch Podcast. You know, you can catch up with every episode on our website or wherever you get your podcast, and watch full episodes on our YouTube channel, and subscribe to our newsletter to keep up with Fanshawe. For the Interrobang, I'm Gracia Espinosa.